Hey guys, Jason Agnew here. So, a weird thing happened as I was doing a quality check on the show. Believe it or not, I actually do that. I noticed in my podcatcher that although there are thousands of you that download and listen to this show, and by all means, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We don't have that many ratings on iTunes. I can't believe I'm just getting to this now. So I'm just wondering, since you're listening, it's the free version of the show. We got a bunch of great stuff coming up. Drop us a rating. It would be lovely if I act as the awkward Uber driver here and ask you to give us 5 stars. That'd be cool, because it just helps the show get out to more ears. So go into your podcatcher, go into iTunes, and rate this show. And then after you do that, enjoy this show, as you do each and every week. Really appreciate you being a part of Sunday night's main event. So here we go.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Hangman Page is back. WWE presents the King of the Ring and Queen's Crown Tournament with no rationale or logic behind either of them. And 2022 will bring us the return of Women of Wrestling. Wow. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. We are Canada's wrestling radio program powered by Great Lakes Beer and coming at you across the country on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and we've got your weekly recap and rundown of all there is to know in the world of wrestling coming up in the next hour. First up, I'll be joined by Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter to chat about the end of the WWE draft, the start of 2 WWE tournaments, and AEW and WWE going head-to-head this Friday night. Then, speaking of AEW, I'll be joined by one of the hosts of our All Elite Weekly podcast, Joe Aguinaldo, to chat about Dynamite's 2-year anniversary, the triumphant return of Hangman Page, and the hottest gimmick in the wrestling world, Arson Anderson. Plus, we'll also present a Week That Was edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. All of that is to come this hour, but if this hour isn't enough, remember, we deliver pro wrestling podcasts each and every day directly to your inbox for only $1 a week. All you have to do is visit us at patreon.com/snmeradio, and you'll get reviews of Raw, NXT, SmackDown, Dynamite, and Rampage right to your podcatcher each day. It's patreon.com/snmeradio. We'll be right back with my chat with Dave Meltzer, but in the meantime, and in between time, let's check in with our pumpkin pals at Great Lakes Beer.
You are a bold and courageous person. West of the Humber River, there stands a brewery. Workers toil constantly there, both day and night. Some say the place is haunted, but you don't believe in such myths. One dark and stormy night, a light appears at the topmost window of the brewery's fermentation cellar. You decide to investigate, only to find a bubbling copper cauldron filled with a tasty pumpkin concoction. You know not whether to share this secret or keep it to yourself. And then you discover it's found throughout Ontario at LCBO locations in Tall Boy cans for just $3.25. Although the mystery is no longer a mystery, this trick is most certainly all treat. Pumpkin ale from Great Lakes Brewery, the safest and most delicious way to celebrate Halloween.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Let's dive deep into the news this week with the editor of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Dave Meltzer. And this week, Dave Meltzer attended a live SmackDown taping. Dave, I mean...
Yeah, they were in San Jose.
Yeah, so
yeah,
you...
Friday night.
I mean... I find TV tapings, Dave, because we cover this so closely, that they're not normally as fun as house shows. How was this one?
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Like, if I, like, just to have fun, I would rather go to a house show, because a TV taping, you know, you got, I mean, this wasn't bad or anything, but it was, you know, you've got the commercial breaks and you've got the long talking periods, which is fine for television, but it's not as good, you know, and especially at a show, because sometimes, like, the sound systems in the arena isn't always the greatest, and, you know, just stuff like that. But, I mean, it was an enjoyable show. It wasn't, like, through the roof or anything, but it was fine. But, yeah, I mean, I would, you know, for me, just to go out and have fun, I would rather watch a house show, because the guys also have more freedom. It's so structured watching the TV. Like, when I'm watching it, it's like it feels so, like, it's so predictable, I guess is the word. Like, when I watch the matches, like, I know everything that's going to happen in the sequence. As long as, you know, almost you watch the first minute, and you can kind of go, okay, this is how long they're going, but based on the pace of the first minute. And it's just, you know, it's fine, but it's just, this is what they're going to do, because this is what, and plus WWE is, you know, their thing is so different from, like, the difference between WWE with say, AEW and New Japan is that AEW and New Japan wrestlers will lead you to a spot and they try to cross you up and surprise you. And with WWE, on the at a pay-per-view, they may do that, but for television, they lead you to a spot and they do the spot every time. You know, it's not crossing up because they have to get the spot over to the mass audience, as opposed to take you on a, you know, they're trying to make it very simple for the audience. That's the one difference, as opposed to make it very complicated and put more depth into it than the other companies would do.
Now, the funny thing is, this week you got to watch 2 hours of SmackDown, but next week it'll be 2.5 hours of SmackDown, going an extra half hour, which will compete head-to-head with AEW, direct competition on a Friday night.
And commercial-free.
Exactly. Another thing I was going to bring up. Obviously, WWE can say all they want that, oh, you know, AEW's not competition, but this is a direct strike this week.
Yeah. I would say that I would believe that this is an experiment, because if they do really well and they beat AEW, because the whole thing with, you know, they just got off losing the Wednesday Night War. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So when AEW went to Friday, my thought was, if this was normal Vince McMahon, the first thing he's doing is adding a third hour to SmackDown, and he's putting it on FS1, because you can't put it on Fox. So, but then as the time came, and it was coming, you know, doing that, I was like, you know what? I don't think they win that fight, and Vince doesn't want to go, he doesn't want to lose again, especially when it's SmackDown. But so this is like putting your toe in the water, and it's like, if WWE can win, and they're confident they could win every week, I expect them to do it. If they come in and it's just kind of like you do it and it's close, or it's, you know, whatever, if we can hurt that rating and get that rating lower, you know, it's like, this is the experiment. If this works, I could see them going to FS1 and wanting to do that a third hour. And if not, then it was just done once.
Well, I hope it doesn't work if that's the case. The last thing I want, Dave, is another hour of wrestling to dilute the product even further on Friday nights.
Yep. There's too many hours of wrestling. You know where it really hit me is, so MLW on Thursday had an hour, and the number really surprised me, because they're coming right off Dark Side, and it was just like, you know what? They have so much wrestling every single night, and there is no need or demand for another hour of television wrestling. I mean, people are going to do it. WWE may do it. But, you know, I mean, the extra hour of, you know, Rampage, it really makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just another thing. And it's a major league product, so you kind of like have to, you don't, I mean, if you're a fan, you don't have to watch it. But if you're like a, you know, a fan who watches all the major league shows, it's like another hour. And even if you're not watching it live, you're watching it on DVR, because the Rampage DVR numbers are very strong.
Hmm.
I mean, that's the one thing, is I think a lot of people watch it Saturday morning.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I do. You know, Friday nights are busy, but I mean, I try to catch SmackDown and now Rampage on Saturday mornings, just as for ease of then figuring out some notes and getting ready to do this show on Sunday to put on the air Sunday night. I have to watch it beforehand. So it does really clog up the weekend. I much preferred it when SmackDown was earlier in the week. Nonetheless, SmackDown, let's talk about it. You were there, and the reveal of the King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown tournaments. We got to see the brackets. Absolutely no rhyme or reason for either of these, the people who are in the tournaments, or for that matter, especially on the female side, the people that won?
Well, I know. And the matches, were so nothing. They gave them like 2 minutes. But I mean, the guys' matches, both of them were good matches, not great, but good. But I mean, it's like none of the top stars are in the tournament. So to me, it's already like, if you're doing a tournament, it's supposed to be prestigious. You know, where's the top guys? Where's Bobby Lashley? Where's, you know, whatever? And they're not there. And so I think I think they're doing the women's one because they want to do the men's one, and it was an idea for television, you know, for the next couple of weeks, and maybe something that maybe the Saudis like the idea of the finals. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe we do something to elevate someone, because I could see on the queen side, I really think Shayna Baszler needs to win because Charlotte Flair needs a strong opponent other than Sasha Banks on the SmackDown side, and she doesn't have one. So they need, and Baszler was just starting to get a push, and I think she could be that person.
She's already the queen of spades as well. So there is some logic to that. However, Dave, Toni Storm losing in the first round blew my mind.
I wasn't shocked because she gets less TV time than Zelina Vega, but I would strongly disagree with the decision on so many levels, because Toni Storm's like a really good wrestler and Zelina Vega is a good talker and really should be a manager. I don't know why they have her as a wrestler, because she's not going to be a main event wrestler.
Yep.
But Toni Storm could be like, she could be upper echelon superstar. And so, yeah, I mean, it's one match, and people will get over it and everything like that. But the other one is that with Carmella winning, which you knew she was going to win because, you know, even though Liv Morgan beat her a bunch of times, you know, Carmella's the one that they push, that if Carmella's going to win, you would want the babyface to win, right? And so they're in Carmella against Zelina,
yeah.
And it's like it's heel versus heel.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, and that doesn't really, you know, make sense. And also, Carmella versus Toni Storm's a much better match.
On the male side of things, I mean, I'm not sure if this is a rehab project for Finn Balor or a way of pitting the New Day against one another.
Yeah, I think the New Day's just kind of there to give you good matches.
Well, you could have Kofi and Xavier against one another in the second round on the Raw side.
Yeah, and they may do that just as a novelty. I could see Kofi doing well, just because, you know, maybe they feel he needs rehab after they, like, you know, gave him the push and then pulled the rug out in the Lashley thing. But I'm going to, you know, again, I know with, like, with Balor, I mean, I think that, he did come off of that Roman Reigns loss, so maybe this is a way to kind of get him going. And he's, like, of the non-top guys, I felt like at the show he was the most popular of, like, the secondary guys.
Right.
And he felt like a secondary guy. You know, like the Roman Reigns and Edge were, like, the top guys, and then maybe Seth and him were underneath. But he was underneath Seth. But Seth seems like he just gets so much time because of the Edge feud.
On Raw this week, the draft finished up, whatever ridiculousness that was. But Gable Steveson's name was mentioned. To me, Dave, he's in the final round of the draft. He's already an afterthought, but they wanted his name on TV. I don't think this does him any favors.
No, I would never have done it the way they did it. I would have either had him in the first two rounds or just ignored it. Because he's not going to be wrestling for a year anyway, so why do you... It's like, I feel that they just wanted to get his name out there, but by getting his name out there, they made him out to be a non-important candidate. You know, he's out there with the people, you know, I mean, like, if he's going to be a $1 million player, he need to be drafted like a $1 million player, not like a 18th round draft choice. So, yeah, I think that they had a cute idea of he would be at home, like, you know, like a football player that gets drafted. But I just thought that it absolutely didn't work.
AEW, we spoke of tournaments on the WWE side, but they announced their World Title Eliminator Tournament, participants coming on Wednesday. To me, this seems like a lot, because we just saw Hangman Page get the shot at the ladder match, but now you're looking at another person to be a contender and get a shot. It seems like they have too many things going on to me to do this right now.
Well, especially because they just announced this Owen Hart tournament, and so it's like, okay, but you're doing this other tournament. I mean, I suppose you could I don't know. That's what surprised me, is I thought that that was the tournament. That was the big singles tournament, was the Owen Hart tournament. But, you know, it's like everything. It's like with WWE, with King of the Ring, it's kind of like we're all doing the same thing for whatever reason. You know, it's like coincidental or whatever. Everyone's doing the same thing, and it's a way to do something with ratings and perhaps, you know, give somebody three big wins and get him in the title picture.
We spoke earlier about not having a need for another hour of wrestling television, but it looks like there's another organization that announced this week. We have AJ Mendez returning to wrestling as an executive producer and commentator on the relaunch of the relaunch of the relaunch of the relaunch of WOW, Women of Wrestling, September 2022. And Tessa Blanchard looked upon as their main talent, who appeared in the trailer. I don't think the world needs this, Dave.
You know, like, you know, this thing from Glow to WOW to POW and all this, these things have been around, I think, for, was it 36 years?
Something like that,
yeah. And they come and go for, you know, they'll come and go for a year, maybe two, then they'll go out of business. Then a few years later, somebody wants to revive them, usually lasts about a year, and then it goes out of business, and so on and so on. We had the WOW a couple of years ago, then they went out of business. Now we're coming back with it again, and it's a pattern. And before, I mean, before it was always cheesy women's wrestling, and then they made it more serious women's wrestling. But the problem is that you're going to have a few people, you know, and Tess obviously is a great wrestler.
Yeah.
Whatever baggage or whatever, she's a great wrestler. But the rest of them are going to be women that are being trained, so they're going to be on television much worse than the AEW and WWE women and the women on you know, even on as far
Impact.
As Impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, so, and Ring of Honor, too. They're going to be lower level, and it's like the last thing you need is, I mean, it's all women, but it's, if they were all women and it was like Japanese women where they were all great workers and it was something that you couldn't see on another show, but when it's worse than the other shows, and we don't need another hour of wrestling, which we've just talked about earlier. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's different. It's syndicated. But syndicated, when was the last syndicated wrestling show that was a success? I mean, it's so far back. It's like I'm thinking, like, when Superstars of Wrestling, you know, which like that syndicated, Eric, went out of business in the 90s. So yeah. We're going 20 years behind with a product that everyone's got women's wrestling now. It's not like it's underexposed. And it's not going to be great women's wrestling. So, yeah, it just it doesn't feel like it's something that has any longevity to me, no.
I concur. All right, Dave, that is great for this week. What is coming up in The Observer?
Well, you know, G1 coverage keeps going, and the build for, you know, Crown Jewel, and just, you know, you never know what's going to happen. This, I mean, there's no... there's no Dynamite this Wednesday.
Yeah, so it's Saturday, right?
Yeah, it's Saturday. But the weekend, we got Dynamite, we got the Impact pay-per-view, we've got the head-to-head on Friday night. I mean, this coming weekend is like a big weekend for wrestling.
Well, we'll join up with you next Sunday to take a look back at all the stuff that happens with the head-to-head on Friday night and Saturday night's Dynamite as well. I guess we'll recap next week right here. Same time, same place, Dan. Sound good?
Awesome. Yes. Have a great week.
You too. Get all of Dave Meltzer's coverage at WrestlingObserver.com. A break we will take, and then we will be back with a little bit of turnbuckle trivia and see what our two combatants have absorbed from this week in the world of wrestling. And then later in the show, Joe Aguinaldo joins me, and we'll chat AEW and these really, really weird tournaments that are happening in WWE. All of that is to come. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one.
one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there! And they say yeah! And they say there!
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event. We have our two competitors on the line, very far apart from one another. First of all, we have David from San Antonio, Texas. Dave, is it still hot and lovely there?
It's actually a little muggy today, but it's supposed to be a heat index of 100 today.
Oh, jeez. So. That is insanity as we go into fall here in Canada. And for your opponent today, we're going overseas to the UK. Michael from New Milton in the UK. Michael, I'm sure it's raining. I don't want to get into that just to play out the stereotype. But, my friend, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and actually, for once, it's not raining in the UK. We have the sun. It's a bit chilly, but yeah. It's a brisk autumn day, I think, I'd say, in the UK.
All right, so essentially we got a Katy Perry song here. It's hot and cold as far as the climates go that we're talking about. Michael, because it's your birthday, I'm going to give you the choice. Player one or player two?
Let's go player one, please.
Player one. All right, Michael's going to be player one. David, you're going to be player two. There's really no advantage to that because the questions are completely equal. We'll see if your choice here actually has you in the win column for your birthday. So today's game, gentlemen, and the winner today, of course, will receive a T-shirt from ballergear.ca. And today's category is This Week in Wrestling. So we'll see what you paid attention to, watched, or didn't watch. Michael, first question is for you. On Monday, which NXT talent was drafted to SmackDown? Which male NXT talent was drafted to SmackDown?
Oh.
A 5 second rule, Michael. You're buzzed out. You're buzzed out on Ridge Holland. Was for some unknown reason brought up to the main roster already. David, to you, similar question. On Monday, which female NXT talent was drafted to SmackDown?
Xia Li.
That's correct. Shockingly, not Io Shirai, but Xia Li is moved up to the main roster. Very weird. Michael, back to you. Who will Bryan Danielson face on Dynamite this week?
Christian Cage?
It is not Christian Cage. It is Bobby Fish he will face. Mm. David, to you. What MMA fighter will make his pro wrestling debut as a part of a six-man tag on Dynamite this week?
Junior Dos Santos.
That's the correct answer. Junior Dos Santos. Very good. Cain Velasquez also getting back into the ring in Mexico, but I was asking for Junior here. Michael, let's get on the board here. I've got faith in you for this one, okay? AJ Lee will be returning to the world of wrestling in September of 2022 as the executive producer of what organization? Oh, no. Michael.
No, honestly, I've got no idea.
Oh, it is WOW. The Women of Wrestling is going to be making its return, maybe, if we get there. David, follow-up question for you. What other prominent name has been signed to WOW and appeared in their trailer?
Mickie James.
That is incorrect. A great guess, because Mickie did the all-female pay-per-view for NWA, but actually, the ever-unemployable Tessa Blanchard has finally found work, and she is going to be a part of WOW. All right, Michael, to you. Name one of the two women that advanced forward in the Queen's Crown tournament on SmackDown. Take a guess.
Carmella?
Carmella's correct. She did, and so did Zelina Vega, and neither one of them should have. Anyway, that's what we'll be talking about with Joe later on the show today, but that's a correct answer. You're on the board. David, though, you do have the power to knock Michael out of this with a correct answer here. Name one of the two men that advanced in the King of the Ring tournament on SmackDown.
Cesaro.
No, Cesaro lost. Finn Balor and Sami Zayn are the two that move forward. So with that in mind, the door remains open. And Michael, here's your question. What is Bron Breakker's real name?
Oh, is it Rex Steiner?
That was the name he was going to be given in WWE, but actually his real name is Bronston Reichsteiner. So with that, I wish you a happy birthday, but David has got you with a 2-1 victory. David, congratulations. I'll be in touch with you to get your t-shirt from ballergear.ca. Michael, I hope to hear from you again. And happy birthday, but t-shirt's got to go the other way today. Sorry, my friend.
No, that's fine. You know, sharing is caring. So, yeah, good. Well played. And thank you for the birthday wishes as well. And, yeah, I hope everyone has a great day.
Happy birthday. Sorry for putting a damper on it for you.
No problem. No, well-deserved. Well-deserved.
Well, it doesn't have to be your birthday to play the game. If you wish to get in to play Turnbuckle Trivia, then please sign up to patreon.com/snmeradio. As I mentioned on the show last week, if you sign up now to the Turnbuckle Trivia level, not only will I get you on before the end of the year, but on top of that, you will get delivered to you the annual Sunday Night's Main Event Christmas gift at the beginning of December. This year, it is a keychain bottle opener with the Sunday Night's Main Event logo engraved right on it. It's cool. It's metal, and take it with you wherever you go in case you get a craft beer that is not a twist-off. You got it with you on your keychain. So that'll be delivered to everybody that is at the $6 level and above, the Turnbuckle Trivia level and above. So sign up now or upgrade if you are there. patreon.com/snmeradio, and I'll be getting to you soon. And freeloaders, yeah, all of you who are listening on the radio right now, or all of you who are listening on the basic podcast, I'm going to call you freeloaders, and just sign up, join us. There's content every day. patreon.com/snmeradio. When we come back, we will be joined by a man who gives you two shows each and every week. Joe Aguinaldo, the co-host of All Elite Weekly, will join me next, right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I'm Dan the Mouth Lebranski.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old f**ks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/snmeradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old f**ks, tough guy.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. It is time for one of our podcast pundits to join me. This gentleman, for patrons, you hear him every week on the All Elite Weekly podcast. You actually hear him twice now because we cover Dynamite and Rampage. However, he was away for Dynamite this week, so this is his time to talk about it. Joe Aguinaldo, welcome to the Sunday Night Show.
Thank you very much, Jason Agnew.
And we're going to start things off with Sheeta. Out of all of us that cover this, I think you are the number one Sheeta fan of the group of Sunday Night's Main Event hosts. And this week we saw the heel turn from Serena Deeb smashing Sheeta over the head with a trophy. I mean, anytime a trophy's involved in wrestling, I get shades of Bret Hart at that WrestleMania. But I liked what happened. What did you think?
Okay, so let's get the personal stuff out of the way. I love me some Sheeta, so I was actually very sad when she lost. But that said, I really dug that match because I really like Serena Deeb. And like, if this leads into a story where Sheeta is like going to keep going for her 50th win, but she has to get it against Serena Deeb, I'm all for that. And the other thing, too, that this match actually highlighted, at least for me now, with all due respect to, say, The Bunny and Anna Jay and, like, Dark Order and HFO and all that fun stuff, okay? To me, a match like Shida versus Serena Deeb is more of the type of matches that they should be showcasing in the women's division because now they have better talent. So, like, I would rather see more of this on my television than Bunny and Penelope Ford versus Anna Jay and Ty Conte. And I like Anna Jay and Ty Conte, but I just think these are more of the types of matches that will draw draw people in more than those sort of mid-card type storylines.
The only, it's not even an issue that I had with this, but the only suggestion I would have had is I think that little sculpture trophy should have been made of candied glass.
That would have been amazing.
Right? Bash her over the head and it goes insane. And then you can talk about, it was made of crystal. You can't smash crystal, blah, blah, blah. Like it would have been old school kind of fun like that. But nonetheless, you get another heel with Serena Deeb. Cool. And someone that you can justify that with, because it's like she was the NWA champion and kind of was like, she's been looked over and now they've created a new championship. I'm sure she'll be involved in that as well. So what did you think, though, of the decision to create the TBS championship this week? And it is your secondary women's title. I see the thought process to get there, Joe, but I have been someone who has been critical of the AEW women's division, and I don't know if they are at the point where a secondary title is required as of yet.
You know what? It's such a weird thing because, like, a lot of people also talked about potentially a trios title,
yes,
right? And with AEW, that would make absolute sense because of all the factions, right? But I don't think you can go wrong with this TBS title. Now, again, this is from someone who actually watches all of the product now. So I watch Dark, I watch Elevation, I watch, Rampage, I watch Dynamite. And, like, honestly, they are quietly putting together a good women's division. It's just that they don't showcase them enough on the main television. Like, if you really look at it, like, you've got Britt, right? You've got Jamie Hayter, who's pretty good, even though she's in Britt's camp. You've got Ruby Soho. You've got, like, Thunder Rosa. You've got Chris Statlander. There are some good pieces now where I think this TBS title would make sense. That said, though, there are certain people, I guess, that I don't want to see in that division, so to speak, mainly because I think they should be main event. And the one that I'm talking about specifically is Thunder Rosa. I think Thunder Rosa, and I know you've mentioned this too, but I think Thunder Rosa is like, she is the one that is going to dethrone Britt Baker. It would just be the lovely bookend to a story, between those two. I don't want to see her anywhere near that TBS championship. I want her to be in that main picture. In that area. So, the short answer to your question, though, is I don't have a problem with the TBS championship. I do think, again, as someone who watches the product, I do think the women have enough talent now for that secondary title. But I wouldn't have argued if they had made a trios title as well.
Well, it could be on the way. But you also got to be careful with too many titles, right? They do have a lot of shows, but too many titles. More titles, not necessarily a good thing. I mean, especially because they're still floating out this FTW title, like unneeded.
Yeah.
Unneeded.
Well, and not only that, but they have the Brian Cage versus Ricky Starks match on Rampage, which was fine, like street match, whatever. But, like, I mean, Brian Cage has said he doesn't even want the belt. So what's the point? You know what I mean? Like, I don't get that.
Well, someone who does want the belt, wanting the big belt, that is Hangman Page. The return this week of Hangman Page, he was the Joker in the Casino ladder match. Do you think he's getting the next shot at Full Gear? Because I'm staring at this Kenny Omega title reign. Number one, I don't really want it to end. Number two, there's unfinished business with Bryan Danielson. You'll look even back more. There's unfinished business with Chris Jericho. So do you, and I do think, Joe, that when Hangman Page gets this shot, he has to win.
100% agree with that. We were talking about bookending a story between Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. Same thing. This would be the bookend to the Kenny Omega Hangman Page story. Now, that said, this is complete speculation on my part, but if Danielson hadn't debuted, like, let's just say Danielson had never shown up, I would have been pretty sure that Page is going to get the shot and the belt at, I think it's Full Gear is the next pay-per-view in November, right?
Yep, yep.
With Danielson in the mix, though, kind of to your point, I'm not entirely sure now. You know, because, like, you know, like you said, he has some unfinished business with Danielson, and it would also make sense if Danielson, you know, got the belt, although that might also be a hot shot. I guess it just depends on which way you look at it. So I'm not sure. I'm gonna say that if the plan was to have Hangman win the belt, I do think, you know, given the way that they booked their territory, so to speak, I do think that they follow through with that. But I'm just confused as to how you're gonna get there with Danielson in the mix.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, because it feels like you've done a draw. You've had no conclusion at this point.
Exactly.
And Joe, and on top of that, they're also doing the World Title Eliminator Tournament. And I was just talking to Meltzer, and he brought up the fact they're also doing the Owen Hart Tournament. So it's like, how many tournaments and how many contenders are we going to have? It's a little much, in my opinion.
You know what? It is. Like, it's one thing to have contenders for belt, right? Like, I get that, but where are you gonna put them all? And, like, also, you know, like, you don't want to burn out your title matches, I guess, on television either. Like, I think that's the other problem that AEW is gonna have is, yeah, okay, you've got your top five contenders. You know, Adam Page is number one, and, you know, whoever's number two, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're going to put them on TV every week and then have the champ beat them every week, again, I'm not saying it's to me, that just doesn't make sense, because you're burning out your title matches. You know, like, you want the title matches to be special. And when you have, you know, five contenders, that means you have five title matches. When are you going to put them on? The only time you're going to put them on, because you don't have a lot of pay-per-views, is your television, right?
It's crowded at the top of AEW with a lot of guys going for that title. It's not as crowded, and I think they've done a very good job with the TNT title. So Sammy Guevara last week beat Miro for it, so now Sammy's got a run. This week he defeats Bobby Fish. You know, I had my doubts of Bobby Fish being in here. I will say, watching this, though, Excalibur just showed why he's so great. He let people know who don't know who Bobby Fish is, and they do exist that are watching this product. He ran down his career and let us all know who Bobby Fish was, why he was there, why he's a threat. I thought it was a great job. And then I was questioning where Bobby Fish was going to fit in, but now he's showing up versus Bryan Danielson week. This feels like something that Bryan Danielson said, all right, next I want to wrestle him. And that's why they're having this match. But where does Bobby Fish fit to you, Joe?
You know what? Like, and again, just total guess. I mean, he's an older guy. I think he's in his mid-40s, 44, 45, something like that. You know, he's had some injuries. So I wouldn't be shocked if he sort of takes on the role of a part-timer slash player coach.
Chris Daniels, you know, type of role?
Yeah, something in that area. And then, you know, he would, like, you know, he's wrestling Bryan Danielson, so I could see him, you know, maybe wrestling I don't know if high profile match is the right word, but maybe the occasional match on television. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see him on, like, taking on the younger talent, like on Dark Elevation, like, right. not every week, just once in a while as that player coach. But I can't see him just being a huge player in AEW, just based on, you know, sort of his, you know, where he is in his career, unless, and this is a big unless, Kyle O'Reilly leaves NXT and they reunite as a tag team, but that's a complete pipe dream.
Well, I mean, when that does eventually happen, there is definitely a run there for them as Red Dragon, for sure. How do you feel about Arsenal to Arson Anderson? Whatever is happening with this man and his character burning things on Cody's lawn this week, I don't really know where it's going.
You know what? You know how you used to say Brandy ruins everything?
Oh, no. Are you saying that about Arn?
No, I'm saying this about Cody right now. I think Cody ruins everything, because think about it. Cody's supposed to be, like, you know, the crown prince of pro wrestling. He's supposed to be your biggest baby face, right? But think about even when Malakai Black came in, I remember Cody was getting booed when they would get into brawls. And this is before that sort of weird retirement speech that he did, right? So I kind of think that, like, if Cody was getting the proper, correct babyface pop that he's supposed to be getting, we're talking about Arn. This is an Arn heel turn, right? Mm-hmm. But like, to me, Cody is getting this weird go away heat. Like, I like Cody, but you can't deny that he's getting go away heat. And I think because of that, it's kind of messing up this angle where, like, Arn is almost becoming a de facto heel. And I kind of joked around with Dan on Friday for the Rampage podcast when we talked about this a little bit. Like, MJF is arguably one of the best heels in AEW right now.
Agreed.
You put him in a program, though, with Cody Rhodes, he is arguably the biggest babyface. That's where we are with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And Cody is someone who has openly said he is not wanting to turn heel, where I also think that it's time for Cody to turn heel. He's lost his focus. He's gone Hollywood, essentially, you know? And he should play that up. Let the fans that he brought to the table now dislike him. I think it's the right play, but he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, then you know what? You leave him as this weird, like, you know, almost kind of like a John Cena, Roman Reigns, like from a couple years ago, where, you know, they were acting babyface, but they were getting the heel reactions, right? I mean, you know, he could be AEW's, like, you know, answer to John Cena, who knows, right? But it's such a weird thing because, again, like, even that last match with Malakai Black when he lost, like, the fans were genuinely happy. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It was so weird.
I mean, part of that is Malakai Black and how much they wanted to cheer Malakai Black. But part of it is Cody. Let's not leave that out. He's not in the good books right now as far as fans go.
No, absolutely not.
Men of the Year, there's finally been some progression on this angle. For those of you that didn't know, by the way, we had someone write in to say Ethan Page was on paternity leave this week. That's why he wasn't there. But there's more progression here with this angle. Six-man tag coming up this week, Men of the Year, with Junior Dos Santos facing Jericho, Hager, and Guevara. Are you into this angle now that it's moved along, Joe, or is this something that should move its way off television?
I haven't really been into this angle at all. Dan Lambert is a very good promo. I think he's been, you know, very good at this whole, you know, millennial thing and, you know, hanging out in your mom's basement. Cool, whatever, right? But yeah, like, for the longest time, they didn't do anything. And I think what bothers me more than anything else is that even though it's moved forward, I'm guessing that this was supposed to elevate Men of the Year, and to me it hasn't.
No, they look like jobbers.
Yeah, like, and the person too, like, Ethan Page is really good on the mic.
Yep.
So I don't have a problem with him, but the guy I feel the worst for is Scorpio Sky. I think he's been hurt the most by this angle. And, like, you can see it when he gets on the mic, because Lambert's very strong, Page is very strong, and then Sky comes on and you're like, dude, just don't talk. And I feel really bad for him because he seems like odd man out. Again, I think it's just more because Page is so good on the mic. So, yeah, like, this is not, to me, helped Men of the Year. And, you know, like, sure, they got the win, you know, with Lambert's help, but none of the heat went to them. All of the heat went to Lambert. So again, like, men of the year to me feel like an afterthought in this entire thing, which I don't think they wanted to do, because ultimately Men of the Year are going to be here, you know, in 6 months, and Dan Lambert will not. So I'm not sure where this is going. But that said, I am intrigued about Junior Dos Santos in the ring. I'm curious to see what that looks like.
Before we go, Joe, I wanted to bring up one more thing. And that is Mark Henry.
Oof.
Now, when AEW started, openly criticized one Alex Marvez as the worst announcer, backstage interviewer, whatever. Anytime he touched the mic, I wanted to touch my remote and basically get him off my screen. Marvez has actually found a place, and I really credit Don Callis with a lot of that, yelling at Marvez. So I see a stooge role that he now plays. Mark Henry has no place on television in this role. He is horrendous.
Yeah, he, like, I try to give everyone a shot, But he's been, and this is about as positive as I can say, he's been not good. now, like, the problem is, I think he's got potential. And again, because I now have, like, I now watch all the product, he's actually been on elevation, right? And he's actually not, again, I'm not going to say he's amazing, but he's not bad. Because it's a much more relaxed atmosphere, and I think that helps him work on his game. But I'm going to bring up something that Mouth always brings up during our podcasts. Like, and kind of like the same with The Miz. When The Miz was coming up, I don't want to see someone getting better on TV. Like, I don't want to see that progression. He's got to go somewhere like a Dark, like an Elevation, where it's not so high profile. Let him get his chops in. Let him get used to, you know, what that commentary feels like. Because like in like when he debuted on Rampage, I think he said maybe 5 words that first show, and it was like, oh my God, where'd he go? Like, what's going on? And then they're trying to do this like face to face thing with Mark Henry mediating, which again, conceptually I don't have a problem with it, but I hate the fact that it happens just before a match, and Mark Henry's just not very good at it.
Nope.
So yeah, he still needs some work for sure.
Yeah.
And yes, like when you compare him to Alex Marvez, I mean, if we were doing the best of worst of show and they were our two choices, Alex Marvez by far would be the best announcer.
Like, yep. You know, comparatively, I mean? Speaking, I hear you. All right, we got to say goodbye for this week. For all of you listening on the free podcast or on the radio, we are out of here. Now, patrons, stick around. Of course, Joe and I will do the podcast version and give you a bonus segment. That segment is going to feature the fact that I forced Joe to watch all the WWE stuff this week as well. And I'm sure he has some strong opinions about it because it doesn't make any sense. So we'll talk about that when we do our bonus segment of freebies, freeloaders. If you wish to hear it, then sign up, patreon.com/SNME Radio. If not, we'll talk to you back here next Sunday night for Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it.